neighbors.
Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland, New York, New Jersey,
Indianapolis, California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa, Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Bay Lake Tower,
Old Key West,
Riviera,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Hilton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Copper Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening to
my
Hello and welcome to DVC Newscast. This is Shannon and we got Pete here.
Hey Shannon.
How's it going?
Good. Just made it through Thanksgiving and coming in the home of the year here. This may be our low. It's, you know, once we get near Christmas, there's not a lot of news usually.
Yeah. So. And then it becomes so busy. And I know with my son's birthday's next week. And then, December is just kind of crazy. But on the good side is that there's usually not a lot of news. So it's not like we're going to miss stuff. But
so we'll see. But we got a lot of news in this show.
Yeah.
So stay
a lot that was surprised. Yeah. But you had a nice Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it was a nice small group, but we had a good time. Yeah.
Well, before we get started, I want to give a shout out to today's sponsor, and that is DVC Resale Market. So if you are looking to purchase a DVC resale contract, or maybe you want to sell your current contract, definitely hit up our friends at DVC Resale Market. And then also, if you maybe are just interested and you want to learn more about DVC, they have a really great section on their website called basically DVC 101. So I definitely encourage you to kind of read up on DVC and just learn more about it. And they have a lot of resources there. So definitely hit up our friends at DVC Resale Market. And this really kind of ties into our first story, which is that
it does.
It really does. DVC announces a fee for resale contracts. So starting January 1st, Disney will be charging a $500 fee for resale contracts. The exact quote from the DVC FAQ page is as follows. If Disney Vacation Club waives the right of first refusal, a closing will take place and all current dues, fees, and outstanding loan payments will need to be paid in full at the time of closing. Effective January 1st, 2026, Disney Vacation Club Management charges a $500 contract administration fee for all resale contract closings. At this stage, we do not know if this affects contracts that have already been given to Disney but have not passed through right of first refusal before January 1st. It is also not known if the fee will be required to be paid by the owner or the seller. We will update in future episodes as this was made clear by DVC. It says it may have an effect on lowering resale prices because of the increased cost, but I don't think it's going to be that much because we are talking thousands of dollars. What's another $500?
Yeah, I think if anything, it might make... Because usually small contracts, you know, 50-point contracts, 25-point contracts go for more money.
Yes.
And I wonder if that will change, particularly because when you're talking about $500, a 25-point contract, that's like $20 a point on a 25-point contract, right? So I wonder if people will still be willing to pay that premium for small contracts. I agree. I look at this and I go like, well, if I'm buying a 200-point contract, I'm not sure this really... even hits my radar because I'm already spending $10,000-$15,000 to even $20,000 on a 200-point contract. But small contract, especially as I said, 50 points or less, it's a pretty significant hit.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I'm glad I'm not looking for a contract, but I could see a lot of sellers taking on the fee. I think it's probably one of those things where just like in when you're buying a home, sometimes a seller assumes the cost. You know, I think that will be an incentive. A seller will pay, assumes the cost of the fee, et cetera.
Right.
That's kind of what I expect to happen. I'm surprised they didn't do this already, to be honest.
Yeah, it's true that they're really, I mean, there are some fees involved, but all the other fees were to do with the legal documents and everything. So. The last contract I bought, which was in 2019, it was shortly after they changed the rules so that newer resorts were limited on resale to only that resort. And then the older resorts had some limitations as well. And I actually bought that contract not so much because I was like, oh, I need more points. It was like, well, I may eventually want more points. So I'm going to buy it now before more changes come along.
Right.
And honestly, since that 2019, there haven't really been any changes until this.
Right.
So this is the first one. I don't know that this would really stop anyone from buying. except, as I said, I think it might make you think twice about a 25-point contract or something like that.
No, sure.
We'll see what it does to prices, if it does anything to prices. The other thing I would like to know, I'm sure people will want to know, is if you've already submitted for right of first refusal, if someone sees this and goes, oh, I'm going to buy, get one now, will there be an issue with, you know, it getting through right of first refusal and then you getting the fee? My guess is no. I think they might get some complaints, if, especially if they did it for people that have already submitted. Mm-hmm. I would guess if you've already submitted at this point, you won't have to pay it. And I'm also thinking it'll probably be, as long as it's submitted before January 1st, you won't have to pay. But we don't know. We don't know. So hopefully DVC Resale, they haven't even really contacted the resale companies yet, DVC, on this. So the resale companies don't know the answer. But I'm sure as soon as DVC Resale finds out, we will hear from them. They will post on the My DVC Points because they're very close with our group. Hopefully we'll find out sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't think it's going to make a big difference, but I think it's just something good to know. And again, I'm surprised. I think this is an easy way for Disney to kind of make a little money off the resale contracts. I won't say doesn't hurt anybody, but doesn't do a lot of damage, I guess you could say. And it's at the end of the day, it's their product. I'm also not in the market for a resale contract, so it's not going to affect me, and I don't plan on selling my contract, so it's really easy for me to say. So I'd be curious, if you are in the My DVC Points community and this is something that you're not happy about, like, let us know in the community. I'd be curious.
I would be interested to see if it affects anybody either buying or selling, because some people also end up like, they sell one contract because they want a different resort, and now all of a sudden, if you were to do that, that's $1,000 extra between the two contract sales to do like a contract swap. So yeah, I'll be curious. We got other information came out. This actually a couple weeks ago, we got the DVC dues came out. And then just today, which is December 4th, the points charts came out. So starting with the dues, DVC released the prices for the dues, and many resorts saw increases in the 6-9% range, including, for instance, a 9.06% increase at Bay Lake Tower, which was one of the lowest. It's still one of the lowest resorts, but that's a pretty big jump for them. And even Saratoga Springs saw 7.59%. Almost all of them, as I said, a 6-8% range. The Fort Wilderness cabins were small. Actually, Animal Kingdom, which is I'm an owner at, it was only 5.3%, which normally you would think is kind of on the high end, but right now it's on the low end. I did kind of try to do a search to find out, like, why are these so large? I couldn't find for sure. The Bay Lake Tower one, some of it was housekeeping and some of it was resetting, you know, how you have to have a certain amount of money set aside. Mm-hmm. My guess is probably some of the construction costs for doing the refurb that they just did there maybe were a little higher. So that was a little bit higher than normal, but nothing that like jumped out to say that's the reason this had to go up that high. Like 4 or 5 years ago, the hourly wages at Disney jumped like $3 or $4, right? And all of our dues went up significantly because of that. That was the last time we really saw this high a change. It's not going to make me sell my points, but what do you think? Have you heard anything?
I haven't. This is not something I follow. It's just something that I try not to look at them every year because it's just like, you know, I'm looking at Saratoga, and Saratoga, it went up 7.5%. It's now over $9. Yeah. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to think about it because it's just something that I pay and it is what it is. Right. Yeah. So
It's over $9, but it's still on the low end.
When
you think about it, because there's like Old Key West is 11.
Yeah.
The ones that are still pretty low are like the Grand Floridian and the Polynesian. But part of the reason those are low is, if you think about it, the rooms each have a lot more points in them, right? So you're actually dividing the rooms more. So therefore, you're dividing the cost among more points relative to the size of the resort. So it makes sense that those are a little less money. There's not much to talk about with it, but just so people are aware, I'm sure most members are aware. Point charts, I did want to hit those too. Those came out today. Most of them did not change, but two of them did. The Animal Kingdom point charts saw the cost of both the value and the club level rooms going up, while Savannah rooms saw a slight decrease as well. My only thing is, this is likely in response to how popular those two categories are, especially values now. Everybody's walking them. You cannot get a value studio.
Oh, no, you can't.
And even a value bedroom is really hard. Club level, same thing. The studios are completely impossible. I actually, for the first time in January, I'm going to stay in a club level one bedroom for two nights. And I only did two nights because it's like 40 points a night, even though it's January. The values are going up 1 to 2 points per night for the studios, 2 to 4 points for the one bedrooms, and 3 to 8 points for the two bedrooms. And honestly, there's really only going to be about a 10% difference between the value studios and the standard, you know, the non-Savannah rooms. Club level went up even sharper, with studios up about 2 to 5 points per night and two bedrooms up 4 to 11 points, as much as 11 points per night. Because there's so many Savannah View rooms in relation, the Savannah View rooms only went down a little. From what I could tell, most nights went down 1 to 2 points and some stayed the same. But it looks like they're trying to balance that out a little bit. So now the Savannah rooms are going to be a little cheaper. The value rooms, the club level rooms are going to be significantly more, yeah. Not pretty sharp increase. The other one, and it's harder to explain, is the Polynesian charts adjusted slightly in that September. So the lowest point time is like the month of mm-hmm. September. And that went up across the board 1 to 2 points per night for every room category.
Even bungalows?
The bungalows went up too, yeah. The bungalows went up. Everything went up just for September. Nothing went down. So like normally you think, oh, you got to. Yeah. Because normally something has to go down if something goes up, because they have to keep the numbers the same. So the hypothesis I read on DVCnews.com was that maybe what they're doing is they're shifting the room categories of some of the rooms in the Poly Tower, because they've had a number of complaints about some of the rooms being classified as Magic Kingdom view, but they don't really have a good view of the Magic Kingdom. They're more like, you can see the Contemporary, and if you like lean over really far, you can. That's the hypothesis, is that, okay, they're lowering the room category for some of these rooms. There's going to be more rooms in that lower category, but because of that, they had to like redistribute some points in the system. The way they might have done that was make the points in September a little higher. If you don't travel in September, it doesn't affect you. If you do travel in September, you're going to see a little more cost in 2027.
Man, that it always impresses me that people go into. I guess I did when I first got into DVC. Now I just don't look at it. It's like, okay, when do I want to go? How many points is it going to be? Okay. Because we just don't go as often as we did when we first purchased.
Right.
But yeah, I'm always amazed by you members that can just kind of analyze it. Because even when I was really into it, I was never very good at it, right? It's a skill. It's absolutely a skill. So I'm always impressed with that.
Yeah. I'm the nerdy type that looks at numbers. And we've talked about this before. Back in 2019, they did this little trick where they used the difference between two bedroom lockouts and studios and one bedrooms, and actually like raised the points on all across the board on studios. And I was part of the movement that Disney claimed was only a couple dozen people to contact Disney and say, hey, this is illegal what you're doing, because they were keeping the number of points the same because these rooms counted as two bedrooms, but were charging people more because most of those rooms actually went as studios and one bedrooms. And there was a big online, I don't know how big it was, but there was enough of an online surge and several of us called, and I was on the phone with DVC, some fairly high up people in DVC, for like an hour myself, with very concise talking points about why they shouldn't be doing this. And they argued to me that it was perfectly legal and we can do this all we want. Then they walked it back. They got rid of it. So I keep a close eye on the point charts just to make sure they don't do something like that again. And this is not that, or at least I don't think it is. Certainly the Animal Kingdom thing, I'm sure, is not. The Poly, there has to be a reason. And I said, it does make sense to say you change. They can still do that since they haven't fully declared the building. Right. they can still shift the point categories of the rooms. And in doing so, they have to adjust how many points each room is worth. So it makes sense. Yeah.
And if somebody's paying premium points for a Magic Kingdom view, and it's like, if you turn your head and you crick it this way, and it's like, yeah, that there you can see the train or that's not right. Fair. So
we stayed in, they don't call them Magic Kingdom view, but we still stayed in the duo that they're called like premium view. Mm-hmm. They're facing the Magic Kingdom, but you can't see the Magic Kingdom from your room. It's in like this little corner. They still charge you more for it, but they don't call it Magic Kingdom view. So I can't really be upset that I can't see the Magic Kingdom. But if you call it Magic Kingdom view and you can't see it, I can see people being upset.
Well, and then we had a lake view at Bay Lake Tower. We had an amazing view of Magic Kingdom. It's like the opposite, that's how it should be. You should always either get the view you paid for or a better view. It should never be like, that's not a good view. So absolutely. I mean, I'm always fascinated with some of you folks can analyze all the points and stuff. It just, I start looking at the spreadsheets and my brain starts to explode. So it's definitely a skill for you guys. And that's why you're here, because we need your expertise. So our next story is something I'm personally very excited about, and that is that Bluey and Bingo are coming to the parks and Disney Cruise Line. So it's been rumored for a while, but in 2026, it's finally happening. The popular kids characters, and I would say characters for all, Bluey and Bingo, will be coming to the Disney parks and Disney Cruise Line. According to the Disney Parks blog, Bluey is coming to Animal Kingdom this summer. And you might find there's actually a wait on the conservation station train. That's, you know, and actually I've waited for the train too.
Oh, have you?
But beginning in summer 2026 at Walt Disney World Resort, you'll be able to take a fun excursion to Conservation Station where you can play and dance with Bluey and Bingo, play some of your favorite games from Bluey episodes with a fun animal twist like Butterfly, Keepy Uppy, and grab the whole family and snap some pictures alongside your Blue Heeler pals to remember this one-of-a-kind adventure. Plus, as part of your wild excursion, step outside to discover an experience with animals native to Bluey's home country of Australia. Not to be outdone, of course, Disneyland is getting a Bluey show beginning March 22nd, 2026. Experience the world of Bluey as the Fantasyland Theater in Disneyland Park transforms into Bluey's school. Join the fun of Bluey's best day ever during the fair at Bluey's school, where you can see the grannies dance with Chattermax, eat fave foods inspired by the animated series at Troubadour Tavern. Troubadour. And what is it?
Troubadour.
Troubadour. Okay, sorry. I'm really bad with pronunciation. And then finally, select domestic cruises will include interactive shows with Bluey and the family, including a morning wakey wakey show and a Who's Behind the Curtain game show and a pajama bash. I believe it's going to be on the Disney Dream, but I'm not 100% sure. I think that's what I read. It's going to be on the Disney Dream, which is out of Fort Lauderdale. Personally, very excited about it. I'm excited about all of this. You know, I think Animal Kingdom is one of those parks that we sometimes skip, like it's our fourth park.
Right.
This will get me there. And my niece, my brother and my niece and my sister-in-law go. They're going in the summer again. My niece will be 3.5. Last year they skipped Animal Kingdom. Mm-hmm. I don't think they'll be skipping it this year. It's definitely worth it.
Yeah. And you think about it, Conservation Station, right? They've been having the animation drawing there. Yep. But they're moving that back to Hollywood Studios next summer as part of the Disney animation thing, which we're going to talk a little bit about in the next story. That kind of makes sense that they got to have something else there to draw people to it. And Bluey is certainly that's going to be a big draw. And I'll say that the 10 and under set more so than I don't know the teenagers will necessarily want to be heading out there. But
well, they have a Bluey show that tours, and it was like, you know, some of them are really, when you're an adult and you're with a bunch of toddlers, some of these shows are really difficult to get through. That one was one I thoroughly enjoyed. It was 45 minutes. It didn't have an intermission, but it was entertaining. I paid extra for the meet and greet. It was so much fun. And it's just a great show. But plus, like, the characters and everything, I think everybody loves Bluey. Anybody that's watched, it's a really great show.
It's a really great show. My daughter is 22, so obviously not into kids programming, but she actually likes Bluey. I mean, she's into animation, right? So that's part of it. Some of the episodes are actually really well animated, but like we watched some episodes and like it's legitimately funny as an adult to watch those shows.
Really, it is.
They're very fun. I'm not saying I would sit there and watch like 2 hours of Bluey, certainly. As you said, there's those shows that like as a parent, your kid watches and you're like, I cannot watch this anymore.
Yeah.
And then there's things that are very easy for it to be on. And I find that Bluey is one of those. So, yeah, this is good news for parents with younger kids because Bluey is very, very popular. Smart move by Disney to get that license to use those characters.
Absolutely. And one, to get him on the cruise, especially the Dream, because the Dream is out of Fort Lauderdale. It's one of the older ships. Fort Lauderdale port isn't as popular. And I think it's going to start in February, so which is also when cruising isn't very popular. That's when they have a lot of sales. Yeah. I am a travel agent now. So if you want to book a Disney cruise so you can see Bluey, definitely, you know, look me up, find me. I can book you. But I think it's great. So I'm excited about it.
Yep. And our last story has quite a few little tidbits because on the Disney Parks blog, they kind of went through and talked about 2026 openings on both coasts and number of little things, some big things too. First of all, they talked about changing the audio animatronics at Frozen Ever After. The ride is going to close on January 6th and will reopen sometime in February. They did not give a reopening date, but if you're going early February, that ride will be closed. They are replacing those animatronics there, have the face mapping. And if you've ever been on it when they're not working properly, it's kind of like terrifying.
Freaky. Yeah.
You know, they went through a short phase starting with Radiator Springs Racers. Mine Train ride uses it, and then this ride uses it. But then eventually they got to the point where they made even better animatronics that didn't require the face mapping. So if you think like Tiana's is an example of the current level. So that's basically where they're going to be swapping those out. They announced Flower and Garden is at Epcot is going from March 4th to June 1st. I think that's pretty normal for that. Sometimes it goes a little later in June, but through June 1st. Big Thunder Mountain and Buzz Lightyear were both announced to be reopening in the spring. So to me, kind of if Disney says in the spring, I think of that's probably before Easter.
Yeah, I would say so.
Because otherwise, if it wasn't going to be before Easter, they'd probably just say summer. And Hollywood Studios, you have the Disney Junior Mickey Mouse Clubhouse show is going to reopen with an all-new show early in the summer. And then the Magic of Disney Animation that I was just talking about that's going to move the Drawing Academy back to the Magic of Disney Animation. It will also have a new experience titled Off the Page that incorporates the process of Disney animated storytelling through also having a number of character meets. So they mentioned like six stages of animation, and each stage will have like a character there. So I don't know if it's going to be something that you walk through and you get to meet each character or how it's going to work. They didn't really share details, but looks like it's going to be pretty neat. Then Rock and Roller Coaster starring the Muppets is also scheduled to open summer 2026. And just earlier this week, they closed the pre-show of Rock and Roller Coaster. There was
no warning.
I don't know if it was an uproar, but I'm sure bloggers were upset because, you know, they all want to get their final rides in for things. It kind of makes it clear that the biggest change on that ride is probably going to be the pre-show more so than the actual ride. They're saying now.
Well, I think that's good. That's good because if they can close it early.
Right.
Get working on it. And then that way the ride is not closed as long.
Right. No, I think
I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I think it's good. It's not, those of us that ride it a lot, we're all used to that pre-show, but like it doesn't change the ride to not see the pre-show.
My favorite memory from the Jollywood Nights, the very first Jollywood Nights that we both went to that was not good, was when we kind of were salvaging the night and we went to, it started pouring rain and we went to Rock and Roller Coaster for like three times in a row. Yeah. And the last time we were the only people there, just me and Ryder.
Oh, yeah.
And so I had him stay in there and I said, so let's watch it. So we watched, cause it was just continually playing. You didn't have to stand there, but he stood there and so he goes, he did the cast member part and he goes, how about some backstage passes? And he loved it. Like we got it on video and he loved it. Like he just thought he was so cool. And that was like one of my favorite, cause the rest of the night was kind of, you know, not so good memories, but that kind of salvaged the night. And he thought that was the coolest.
Yep. And then last couple things, Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run will get the Mandalorian and Grogu change to that, the programming there, beginning May 22nd. And then Soaring Over America is scheduled to open by Memorial Day. So if you are traveling there, you know, as of Memorial Day, you'll get the new Soarin'. Disneyland actually didn't have as much announced, which is usually it's the opposite, right? They're also getting the Mandalorian and Grogu takeover of Smuggler's Run on May 22nd. Soarin' Over America doesn't start there until July 2nd, so the rare instance of Florida getting something before California. And they also mentioned that Hyperspace Mountain will return to Space Mountain June 28th, and that's the Star Wars overlay of Space Mountain that it seems like they bring it back about once a year for a few months. But other than that, we didn't get anything else out of Disneyland. They did announce the dates for Oogie Boogie Bash for next year. So if someone's thinking about getting tickets, tickets aren't on sale yet, but they just announced the dates for it, which is very early because usually it's about the same time as they announce the Halloween dates. And they usually do it kind of at like a halfway to Halloween point, right? Which is like March. So it's a little early.
Yeah, that is really early.
If you're playing an Oogie Boogie Bash next year, you can already pick your dates.
But now with the Oogie Boogie Bash, is it like predictable? Because I don't really look at those dates.
Yeah,
is it predictable like the other ones? Yeah,
it's pretty much, it's in California Adventure. And I don't know the dates exactly either, but yeah, it's pretty much like the same days of the week every week. So it's like Mickey's Not So Scary in that it's the same days of the week every week. Pretty much. The only exception is I don't think they do it over Labor Day weekend because of the holiday. They get so many people, they don't want the park closed.
Well, that's like the Halloween party on, what was it, Columbus Day. Yeah. They don't have it the Sunday of Columbus Day. They do it on Monday.
They do it on Monday, yeah. Probably the same.
And they do it on actual Columbus Day because it's the holiday weekend. So
yeah.
Cool.
So that's an update to all the things coming next year, which is quite a few, though most of them are changes to current rides as opposed to anything really new. But a ride like Smuggler's Run, they can change to a new setup for that ride, because I still enjoy that ride, but I know a lot of people complain that now that I've done it, you know, dozen or more times, it's kind of boring. You know, I still have fun with it.
Are they going to have to shut it down for any period of time, or is it going to just be from one day to the next?
They haven't said. If it is shutting down at all, it'll be very short. It could be a couple of days at most, but it won't be for very long.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Because it's really, there's no changes other than the show itself or the ride screen itself. So I'm sure it's all programming. So it's just uploading the new ride. Now, they might close it for a day or two to test it or something like that, I could see, just to make sure all the programming's working right. But yeah, I wouldn't think it'll be closed for more than a couple days. They haven't announced that.
I love that ride. I love it. I know a lot of people don't really think that much of it. I love it. Ryder loves it. Like, there has been times where Ryder will skip Rise of the Resistance and want to ride Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I admit being, what's the back one, the engineer?
Yeah.
That isn't all that great. Because
sometimes Ryder chooses that.
Does he really?
He's chosen to be the pilot a couple times, and he likes but sometimes he's just like, I just want to be the engineer because I just want to enjoy the ride.
Oh, okay.
I have, you know, a 9-year-old that's in the body of a 65-year-old. But yeah. And then sometimes he wants to be the pilot, and then I just brace myself because he's
terrible.
Not good at driving. Yes, he's terrible. So
I will say, like, obviously I don't go that often. It's not that easy to steer.
No. I mean, I'm a horrible driver too, but when it's him, it's even worse.
But that's it for news. And
that's it for
news. You just came back from a cruise. It wasn't a Disney cruise, but
it wasn't, but I did get to see the Destiny. Nice. I did get to see the Disney Destiny because I left out of Fort Lauderdale and I got to see the Destiny before we left, and then also at sea. So we got to see it because it was just a three-night. We did three-night on Liberty of the Seas, and for Black Friday, we got on Black Friday for Thanksgiving weekend. Yeah. And so we got to see the Destiny, and then we saw her out at sea because the first full day, so there's only 2 days that you're on the ship, yeah, everybody was at sea. Nobody got into Nassau. Nobody got to the private islands. So that was our Nassau day. So we saw the Destiny. We were kind of close and we could see her from our.
So you didn't land at all? It was just all sea days?
No, the second day we did. So the second day was Coco Cay, and it ended up being great. We did their water park, and we thought, because we were in port with Utopia, we thought, oh wow, it's gonna be crazy packed. We got to it pretty early, but the morning was kind of windy and a little rainy. So we think a lot of people canceled their tickets because you have to cancel within 24 hours or the day before. Right. But once that day, you can't cancel because it was pretty empty.
Yeah.
That was the third time we've done the park, and it was pretty much the longest time we waited was maybe 10 minutes for the family raft, which that line can get to an hour and a half.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was, and most everything was a walk-on. I mean, it was empty, and you could find loungers. I even got, like, when I got back, I got into a group and like, has anybody gone? And everybody was like, no, it's always packed.
Yeah.
So the weather actually kind of worked out in our favor. We ended up leaving at 1:30 because we had done everything.
Oh yeah.
We were like, yeah, we're kind of done.
Yeah.
It was great. It was a lot of fun. And it was nice just to kind of get away. My husband's a police officer, right, so he can never get off on Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving it's with my family, but not really like our family.
Right.
To be able to have the weekend and spend as a family was nice.
Do they do like a Thanksgiving kind of thing where you can, I mean, even if it starts on Black Friday, or do they not?
They didn't do anything for us. I know that some cruises they do. The cruise before us did have something for Thanksgiving. They had the Christmas decorations up. They had a beautiful tree. So I brought outfits, like probably see them on Instagram in the next couple of days. I posted some pictures today where I was like, I go on cruises to get family photos. That's pretty much what it is at this point. But yeah, we got some really nice pictures in front of the Christmas tree. So those are my Christmas cards. That's my Christmas card this year.
Well, that's one of the really nice things about living down there where you do, is that you can do like because a 3-night cruise on Royal Caribbean isn't like really super expensive. And, you know, for us, it would never make sense because now you got to add airfare and you got to get down there the day before and all these other things. So doing a 3-day cruise wouldn't make sense. But if you live down there, it's a great way to do it, is especially like that long weekend. That's awesome.
Yeah. And last year we did the two parties and we were thinking about doing it again. And
this was probably cheaper.
We were pricing it out. We did Jollywood Nights and it was cheaper to do the cruise than it was for the tickets that we purchased last year. Just the tickets. So, and the cruise, remember, is food. We actually drink for free on the ship because we've been loyal to Royal. Yeah. So we get 4 free drinks a day. And
oh, nice.
I drink maybe 1 drink at this point, if I drink anything. I think our bill was $145 when we got off the ship. And most of that was, we had an onboard credit, but most of that was the gratuities that were added. And then Ryder likes to stay late to play Gaga ball. So we have to pay $15 a night because after 10 o'clock you have to pay.
Oh, okay.
We have another sailing. We're staying for spring break, which is ever since Ryder's been in school. We do a cruise every spring break because I don't want to go to Disney World during spring break. It is easy because you get off the ship and we don't have to worry about driving anywhere. It's really nice. But I'm surprised I haven't gone on Disney ships. I still have yet to go at a Disney ship. Our first one, we did go on the Disney Magic back in 2020 out of Miami. But other than that, we haven't really done many Disney cruises out of the Fort Lauderdale port. I'm checking prices for the Disney Dream, especially now with Bluey on there.
Yeah.
Because you can definitely get, the deals are really to be had out of the Fort Lauderdale port.
Yeah.
Because most people that go on Disney Cruise Line, they tag it along with a Walt Disney World trip.
Right.
Where the deals are is, because that's what one of the things I've heard from travel agents is that about the Destiny is that a lot of people aren't interested in it because it's not at Port Canaveral.
Oh, interesting.
And, you know, and that's the brand new ship. Everybody wants to do the brand new ship.
If that's a problem, I'm sure they'll move it. I mean, they can't right away, right? But yeah.
Right. They have the Wish and they have the Treasure out of Port Canaveral, and they're doing the 3 and 4 nights, right. and the seven nights. But it'll change. I mean, they just moved Magic to Galveston, and there's more ships coming on board, but nice to get away. Even with the crappy weather, it was still just nice to be, just, it gave me a chance to relax and not, because when I'm home, I'm doing stuff like cleaning, doing laundry, doing stuff. So I couldn't do anything, and it was kind of made me relax, which is not necessarily a bad thing.
Oh my God. We when we did the Odyssey of the Seas, the one of the days coming back, the seas were like really, really rough, like close the pools rough. And luckily I didn't get sick. Yolanda, my wife, did a little bit, and until she had those wristband things and she put those on and she was fine. She had bought two. And because she was thinking it was two sets, but then it was only two. And she was like, well, I'm going to use them. And I was like, oh, good thing I'm not sick then, because I would have been out of luck. It's still nice being on a cruise. I don't know.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed. Yeah. I mean, we're not big cruise people for sure, but we did have a good time on that Royal Caribbean cruise. And we'll definitely do it again in the future.
Well, we're big cruise people because we love the kids club people. Yeah. We didn't take any pictures getting on the ship because the weather getting on the ship was also not the best. Yeah. So we didn't go outside, and we had a balcony. So that was nice. So I think the first picture I took was the first, like, Ray and I, while we were at the Schooner Lounge, and Ryder was already at the kids club. So I was like, okay. But it was interesting because I got a memory on my Facebook that 17 years ago, we had done a weekend cruise, Black Friday. And it was to celebrate our 1 year dating anniversary.
Oh, well, yeah.
So it was 18 years on the 30th that we started dating. It was just funny that we had done actually the exact same itinerary because we had done Nassau, which we skipped Nassau, but we were on CocoCay 17 years ago, but when CocoCay was nothing, it was just a beach. Yeah. That was it. That was when we lived a mile from the port.
Yeah.
We literally would just jump. We would just take a cab.
Back then it would have been a cab, not an Uber.
Yeah, it was just a cab. Yeah, we just got in a cab and got on the ship. Nice. So it was. And then I would literally come home and go straight to work.
Yep.
I would be a little bit late for work. We'd get off the ship and I would go straight to work because I worked right there. I don't think I would do that now just because I'm too tired. Back then I could go there and just go through a day, but now it's like I'll use a PTO day.
Yeah.
I don't know if this will be our last one. I hopefully we'll get one more episode before the new year, before the holiday.
It'll be all about the news, right? If we get enough news, we'll have one more episode before the holiday. It's still early December, so it's certainly possible. I wish we had episodes every week because that would mean that there's a ton of news coming out. But unfortunately, we go by the news, not by the episode. So this one we had a lot, though, so this is good.
Yeah, and we don't want to have an episode just to have an episode.
Right.
So, because then no one's going to want to listen.
All right.
Well, with that, we want to thank you to our three sponsors, DVC Resale Market, DVC Rental Store, and Moneira Financial for their continued support of the My DVC Points platform. And with that, I will say see you real soon, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.